Grace and peace to you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is always coming into the world in love. Yesterday morning, about 10 of us gathered on Zoom for an Advent retreat. At the center of the retreat was a video in which a number of contemporary Christian theologians and writers shared their thoughts about Advent. They talked about what it means to wait in hope for a God we trust is already with us. They talked about what it might mean to think of Advent as a season in which God is waiting for us to wake up, to pay attention, to fully see God at work, and to fully take our place in the world as the beloved followers of Jesus. In the film, renowned theologian Jürgen Moltmann, who in 1993 published a book called A Theology of Hope, reminded us that Advent calls us not just to pray, but to pray and watch. The interviewer asks him, what are we watching for? And he says, we pray and watch with our eyes and ears open, watching for miracles, watching for the unexpected. If we are not always looking for miracles, we will never see them. Now, we often think of miracles as something supernatural, something unexplainable, like the parting of the Red Sea, or a bush that burns and is not consumed, a pillar of flame and a pillar of smoke. But sometimes miracles are simply those times and places that we see God break into our regular human lives, offering new life, bringing people together, making unexpected things happen. I was a part of one of these ordinary miracles in the week before Thanksgiving. A group that I am a part of on Facebook received word from an Albuquerque organization called the Allied People's Coalition that Jemez Pueblo was experiencing many COVID cases and that they had issued a stay-at-home order, asking people not to leave their homes, even to get groceries. They needed food. And since some of the homes on the Pueblo don't have running water, they needed water as well. Two of the families in this Facebook group offered to collect donations with safe distancing and disinfecting everything, and to organize cars to deliver them to the Pueblo. 5 days later, we gathered in almost 20 vehicles packed with food and water and other supplies, including a U-Haul and a pickup truck and trailer. When we arrived at the senior center at Jemez, the shelves of the food pantry were almost bare. We unpacked, sorting and piling food on shelves and in stacks all around the room. And as I left, the volunteers were still sorting and they were beginning to put together 75 household packages that the people at the Pueblo would deliver that evening and the following day. Here are some photos of the food pantry when our group left that day and of the cars as they headed up. Yes, start from this slide. There we go. So here's some of the vehicles filled with food and water. Here's the stacks of potatoes, water, food pantry shelves. Much, much water. Those white boxes are all filled with fresh apples and lots of paper goods. We were just an ordinary group of citizens organized only by a Facebook page, but we worked together to truly make a difference for our neighbors. Today, we read words of promise and hope from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the prophet says. I bring good news of the everlasting covenant with God. And he speaks in the midst of rubble and ruin. What an audacious promise he makes to the people. The people of Israel have returned from exile in Babylon to a land they have longed for as their spiritual home, even though some have never seen it. Imagine their hopes and dreams as they travel back to the land of their fathers and mothers, the land of their ancestors, the land of Abraham's promise and David's reign. What they find is a land filled with ruin. The temple and the great city of Jerusalem are rubble after the war with Babylon a generation before. And it is to these disappointed, broken-hearted people that Isaiah speaks. With the Spirit of the Lord, I am here to bring good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, to comfort those who mourn, to provide and to give. In the verses that follow, the prophet offers a number of images to describe the renewal and restoration God offers to God's people. The people are called righteous oaks and sprouting garden. They are called priests. They are described as people clothed with righteousness and as brides preparing for marriage. All of these are images drawn from their religious tradition to describe God's relationship of love and care for God's people. God provides for the people as an oak or growing sprout is nourished in the ground, or as clothing protects us from weather and harm. And the people also partner with God in restoration and healing as newlyweds partner in making a life together. The people are invited into this partnership with God as builders of their new future and their new home. What a time it was for them. A combined challenge and opportunity, so much lost, so much work to do. How hard not to get discouraged. And yet, a chance to rebuild, to create a new and brighter future in partnership with God. As it was true for the people of Israel centuries ago, so it is for us today. So much has been lost in our lives and in the lives around us. There is so much to rebuild and restore. We are the ones who grieve. We are the ones who are invited by God to bind up the brokenhearted, to look to a new future, not only with the end of the pandemic, hopefully in sight, we hope and pray, but with all of the other things that had been happening even well before the pandemic. Poet and activist Sonia Renee Taylor has said about this COVID time, "We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was not normal, other than that we normalized greed, inequity, exhaustion, depletion, extraction, disconnection, confusion, rage, hoarding, hate, and lack. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature. When we look around, we can see so much suffering caused by the pandemic, but caused also by the deep injustice and greed that permeated our lives well before that began. We can also see and we can be a part of acts of generosity and care, acts which speak good news to the poor and oppressed, which bind up the brokenhearted and comfort those who mourn. We can pray with our eyes open and our ears open and our hearts open to see where God is acting in the world and to be a part of the new life and new beginnings that God offers. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine who is a Lutheran pastor and also an enrolled member of a Lakota tribe told a story to our Excellence in Leadership team. She began by reminding us of the history of the United States in relation to the native peoples of this land, a history of terror and conquest, of broken treaties and betrayal. One of the many atrocities in this history is the boarding schools that were begun in the late 19th century. Native children were taken forcibly from their families to schools where they were not allowed to follow their cultural practices or speak their native languages. They were taught to act and look and speak and often to pray like white people. The schools have been closed, but little reparation has been offered to Native people. But in 2017, a piece of property outside of Rapid City, South Dakota, where one of these boarding schools used to stand, was entrusted to the Oglala, Rosebud, and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes. Now, Rapid City, like many cities around the country, has a significant and growing number of unhoused people. And they had a group of unhoused Native people who were having a difficult time accessing services to get help. A group of tribal members had gathered to form the Creek Patrol, working together to provide food and assistance specifically for the Native people whom they call their relatives. This fall, the Creek Patrol went to that land that was owned by the tribes, the land where the boarding school stood, and they set up a few teepees, started up a fire, and opened Camp Mniluhasan. And it is a place where Native people who are homeless can come to find a warm place to sleep, food, and clothing. The camp has been open now for almost 2 months, and with the help of many volunteers who have come alongside to help and have provided, they have committed to providing safety and healing for all their relatives. Recent Facebook posts thank all of the people who've donated food and clothing and time to the camp as they continue to prepare for the long winter ahead. And I have some pictures also from Camp Mniluhasan, which I know I can't say right. Here's a picture of the teepees. And Pastor Inga told us that one of the things they've done is also to set up a sweat lodge so that when the people come and they are in need of healing, they can participate in that Native practice that helps them to get back in touch with their own culture and identity. The Spirit of the Lord is there in South Dakota, bringing hope and healing where there has been injustice, pain, and suffering. There's still a lot of work to do with the camp and the city and working toward the services that are needed, but it is a beginning. And the Spirit of the Lord is here, my friends. It is here among us. It is here whenever we reach out to one another with good news of hope and joy, the way our congregation has reached out to some of our Family Promise graduating families to come alongside them in this first Christmas in their new homes. It is here whenever we move out of our comfort zones to bind up broken hearts and seek justice for the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord is with us and among us, and a part of the work of Advent is to pray and watch, to open our eyes and ears and hearts, and to see where God is and where God is calling us to be in this work of rebuilding, renewal, and hope. Amen.